My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. One of the more recent times we spoke with Matt, he was preparing to argue before the Virginia Supreme Court in connection with a new Fairfax County Public Schools policy that allows for transgender accommodation as well as sexual orientation accommodation. Mr. Staver's argument was that such changes to discrimination policy cannot be different than the state policy. But the Supreme Court in the state of Virginia has dismissed his case, and he's here now to explain why and where the fight goes from here. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks. My pleasure to be with you.
Well, the case was dismissed. What was the explanation for that?
Well, they did not rule on the merits of the case, and whenever we get them to rule on the actual merits of the case, that is, whether the school board can add additional non-discrimination categories that are not included in the state law, then we win. It's an easy decision at that point in time. They ruled on whether or not there's what's called standing, whether there was an actual injury. And what we have here is the school board passed the policies, but they haven't actually enforced them yet against any student to the point of disciplining them. But the problem with having to have a student go through the actual discipline or go to the point where he or she is disciplined is problematic. Because say if you have someone who wants to go on to military academy, you have to have a pristine record. Even though you win a disciplinary action, you don't want a disciplinary action on your record. Or if you're going into law school or the intelligence services, you don't want to put on your application that, yes, you were disciplined, although hopefully you won the disciplinary action. It just doesn't look good. You want to have a pristine record. So you shouldn't have to require a student to go all the way to the point where he or she is actually disciplined. Fear of discipline should be enough, and that's what we argued. But the Virginia Supreme Court ultimately ruled that it's not ready for a decision yet until someone actually has standing. So they have to have a real injury rather than just fear that they're going to have an injury, even though the fear is very real and very legitimate. The case is clearly not over. We'll go back with this or some other plaintiffs with some additional facts actually developed during the litigation, but you couldn't change those once the suit was filed and it was up on the appellate level. You're stuck with the facts as they existed at the time you filed the complaint. So things have changed. We have other circumstances that we'll go back to and regroup, and we'll start again. And once we get past the standing issue, we will get to the merits, and when we get to the merits, that's when it's over for us, and that's when we'll have the victory.
In the meantime, what do you expect to happen in Virginia? Because I know that the second biggest school district in the Commonwealth, Prince William County, was kind of waiting to see what happened with this case, and I know other districts are as well. So with the case being dismissed, although not on the merits, do you expect those counties to go forward with similar policies to Fairfax, or do you think they'll still be in kind of a holding pattern until the merits are addressed by the court?
I have no idea what they'll do. We'll have to wait and see. But certainly, the more they act, the more it plays into our hands, the more that the Fairfax County School decides to move forward with the implementation and enforcement of that policy, or any other school district does that, the more it creates a target on its back. And we will ultimately monitor all of these. The more activity that happens like that, for example, the better. I think that they would be unwise to enact a policy, but be my guest. Go right ahead and let us go ahead and get some additional facts, because I can tell you this. It's very clear. School boards cannot, or cities or counties, pass additional non-discrimination categories that are not already in the state law. And the state law clearly does not include sexual orientation or gender identity or gender expression.
The argument from the other side here, Matt, is, well, there's no disciplinary action yet in this case, and so that suggests then it's maybe not as big of a deal as you think. It only affects a few students here and there. Everybody else can just go on living their lives. What's your response to that?
Well, the problem is the school can't do something that's clearly illegal, which it's done, hang it over the heads of the students and threaten that they will be disciplined, and then just simply avoid legal repercussions by not disciplining them, but threatening discipline. The fact that they threaten discipline, that's enough to deter someone's actions. And for the good students, they're not going to want to walk into a buzzsaw of discipline. Nobody wants to go into that situation where you're having to fight to clear your name and your record. And for some of these, they might be, for example, juniors or seniors, and they're making these big career educational decisions where they have to apply to different places of employment or school. They don't want to have to deal with the fact that they've got a disciplinary action ongoing. So that's the problem that we have here when you have a policy like this that's in place, and it's clearly in violation of the law. And under this Dillon's rule, you can't add these additional categories of non-discrimination. And yet when the school does it, it's unfair, frankly, and that's what we argued, to require a student to actually walk into the buzzsaw of actual discipline and then challenge it after the fact. Just like the First Amendment, for example. The First Amendment says that, and the case law says that, if you have a violation of free speech, you can file for that action. But if you're threatened in your free speech, you don't have to go through discipline or threat or arrest if the law or the rule or the policy or the ordinance actually creates a chilling effect so that you refrain from speaking because you're fearful that you will be disciplined or charged or arrested. That's enough. And that's clearly what we have here in this case.
We're talking with Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. A couple of questions left in our remaining time here, Matt. First of all, you mentioned that at the outset that the court ruled not on the merits but on the standing. Do you believe that was a legitimate ruling, or do you think they're trying to duck the issue until they have to face it?
Well, I understand the legal issues of standing, but again, as I said earlier, it doesn't make sense in this kind of situation where you have a clear law in Virginia that any action taken in violation of these non-discrimination categories is void from the very beginning without any authority whatsoever. And yet the school does that action. It doesn't make sense to require a student to actually walk across the discipline line as long as they have fear that they will be disciplined, and the fear comes from this particular unlawful policy. That should be enough. So I think the court should have jumped over the standing issue and gotten right to the merits. You know, the fact is it's disappointing they didn't, but we'll be back and we'll set up the facts some more. More facts have developed. Additional situations will be presented, and we'll come back. And when we get to the merits will speak for themselves, and it's a very clear win at that point.
Matt, you may have surprised a few people on your own side a few minutes ago when you suggested that on one level you actually welcome more school districts to try and break the law by not abiding by the Dillon rule and going ahead with these expanded non-discrimination policies. Obviously, the idea is that you could potentially get evidence to get a ruling on the merit. But in the meantime, some who share your overall view on this might suggest that their kids in the meantime would be subject to policies that clearly they don't agree with. So what would you say to them?
Well, I'm not encouraging schools to break the law. I'm not encouraging schools to follow the bad example of the Fairfax County School. I think they'd be very unwise to do that. They're going to ultimately pay in the end, and they'll end up paying large amounts of attorney's fees. So certainly wouldn't want them to do that. I'm just saying, if they're going to do it, if they're going to be that brazen and disrespectful and disregarding of the law, then go ahead and do it, because you're going to pay the consequences for it. The problem is that, you know, the schools don't want to or should not want to walk into a buzzsaw where they're going to get tagged with attorney's fees, and they will. I mean, they will lose this case. I can guarantee you, once the facts arise and they apply it, they will lose this case. So none of them should follow the example of the Fairfax County School Board. That was a wrong decision. The school board should actually take a breath of relief right now that it didn't get tagged with attorney's fees yet, and repeal the policies. But Fairfax is not going to do that. So I can tell you what, we'll be back, and we'll be at the doorstep of any other school that wants to try to break this law.
Matt, finally, what's the impact of the Trump administration rolling back the Obama administration directive when it comes to transgender accommodation, when it comes to school facilities and school trips and so forth? How does that strengthen your case?
Well, it definitely strengthens our case, particularly on the merits when you get to that, because Fairfax County or any other county could say, oh, well, we're just doing it because we're compelled to do so by the federal directive. Well, they can't do that anymore. That particular argument or that crutch, that has been taken away from them.
We'll certainly be following as the debate continues, and I'm sure, as you suggested, there will be a time when the merits are considered, perhaps sooner rather than later. Thank you, sir, very much for your time, as always.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.